Welcome to the advanced session on the chop stretch method with Jungle Swing in Ableton Live 12. In this lesson, we're going deep on a bassline workflow that makes your low end feel like it's breathing with the break, not sitting on top of it. That's the big goal here. We want bass that feels alive, swung, elastic, and locked to the drum phrasing, while still keeping the sub clean, focused, and powerful. If you've ever had a DNB bassline that sounded technically correct but emotionally flat, this method is going to be a game changer. We're using chops, stretch, swing, and arrangement thinking to turn a simple phrase into something that feels like a proper jungle inflected roller. First, set your mindset right. In this style, bass is not just a melody line, it is part of the drum performance. That means every note has to respect the snare, the ghost notes, the hats, and the little spaces that make a break groove. If a bass hit fights the drums win, always. So we're not forcing bass into the grid and hoping it works. We're shaping it around the groove. Start with a project tempo around 172 BPM. That's a sweet spot for classic DNB motion. If you want something slightly darker and more halftime leaning, you can sit a bit lower, but 172 is a great place to feel the jungle energy straight away. Drop in a drum loop or your own break, and listen before you write anything. This matters. Don't rush past the groove. Pay attention to where the kick and snare land, where the ghost notes sit, and where the break has natural push and pull. That's the pocket your bass needs to dance with. If you want, turn on the groove pool and give the drums a subtle swing feel, somewhere around 54 to 60% depending on the source. The key here is subtle. We're not trying to make the groove lopsided or cartoonish. We just want a slight displacement that gives the bass something to lean against. Now build a bass source. You can use wavy-eatable, analog or operator depending on the character you want. If you want a more classic Reese or mid-heavy tone, wavy-eatable is a great choice. If you want cleaner, more sub-focused behavior, operator is very solid. The important thing is to start simple. Write a basic one or two bar phrase with just a few notes. Keep it minimal, maybe a root note on beat one, an offbeat response, a small jump for tension, and a final tail before the loop resets. That's enough to get the method working. Here's the teacher trick. The phrase should already sound musical before you chop it. If the source line is weak, the chops won't save it. So make the bones good first. Once the phrase exists, split it into chop points. If you're working in MIDI, shorten note lengths and separate the hits clearly. If you've resampled to audio, slice the clip into pieces or use sliced a new MIDI track. Look for places where the bass naturally changes character, like an attack, a pitch move, a filter shift, or a tail that can be extended. Good chop points in this style usually happen around the gaps between the snare and the next kick, or just before snare to create anticipation. You can also place chops after the snare for a call and response effect. That call and response feel is huge in jungle and DNB because it makes the bass sound like it's answering the drum kit. Now comes the swing. This is where the jungle pocket really starts to show up. If you're using MIDI, drag a groove onto the bass clip from groove pool. A swing value around 55 to 58% is a strong starting point. You can adjust timing strength depending on how much movement you want. If the break already has a strong feel, keep the groove lighter so it doesn't get mushy. And here's a very important detail. Don't swing everything equally. Keep the main anchor notes tighter, and let the response chop sit deeper in the swing. That contrast is what makes the line feel intentional. If every note gets the same treatment, the bass can start to sound lazy instead of groovy. You can also use manual timing nudges. Push some notes slightly late for a laid-back roller feel. Move others slightly early before a snare to create tension. This three-layer timing idea is really useful. The main grid anchor, the delayed response notes, and the slightly early tension notes. That combination creates motion without chaos. Before you get too deep into processing, use velocity and clip gain to shape the groove. This is a pro move that gets overlooked a lot. A bassline with smart dynamics often needs less compression later. Maybe one chop hits a little softer, maybe the response note comes in quieter, maybe the pickup is slightly stronger. Those little choices make the phrasing feel played rather than programmed. Now let's talk about stretch. This is the heart of the method. Stretching here does not mean smearing the bass into a mess. It means giving certain chops longer tails, slightly more overlap, or a more elastic release so the bass feels like it's being pulled into the next pocket. If you're working with audio, experiment with warp modes. Complex Pro can be smooth for tonal material. Beats can work if the material is more percussive and chopped. Stretch some notes a little longer so they bleed into the next space, and shorten others so the snare has room to breathe. If you're staying in MIDI, you can lengthen certain notes to let the synth envelope swell. You can also automate filter cutoff and release so the note blooms in a controlled way. Careful note overlap can create glide or legato movement, but don't overdo it. In DNB, too much overlap can blur the low end quickly. A really effective pattern is something like this. A short chop on beat 1. A stretch tail into the end of 1. A swung mid note before beat 2. A clean stop before the snare. Then a response chop after the snare. That sequence alone can give you the breathing, elastic feeling that makes this technique so effective. Now build the bass into a proper structure. Separate your sub from your mid layer. This is essential. Keep the sub mono, clean, and stable. Use a simple source-like operator or analog. Low-pass it around 80 to 120 Hz, and don't let it get dragged into stereo effects or distortion madness. The mid layer is where the movement lives. This is where you can add saturator, overdrive, or roar for grit. Cut the low end out of the mid layer with EQ8 so the sub owns the foundation. If you want, add subtle chorus or micro pitch movement above the sub region, but keep it controlled. The point is to keep the low end disciplined. Huge bass in DNB does not mean messy bass. It means the sub and mid are doing different jobs very well. Once the sound is under control, turn the chopped phrase into an actual musical idea. Use automation to create movement across the bar. Maybe the filter opens a little in the second half. Maybe the resonance rises into a transition. Maybe a few notes get a little more attack or volume. Small changes go a long way. A strong approach is to build a two-bar Collins response. The first bar can be heavier, lower, and more spaced out. The second bar can be more chopped, more syncopated, and slightly brighter or more distorted. That gives the listener something to latch onto while still keeping the line evolving. A good dark roller example would be a root note and offbeat response in the first bar, then a minor second or tritone movement in the second bar for tension, before resolving back to the root or fifth. That kind of harmonic motion adds menace without making the line too melodic. Now check the bass against the drums. This is where a lot of producers make mistakes. If your bass is landing on every obvious strong beat, it can flatten the energy of the break. The snare needs space to dominate on 2 and 4. The bass should duck around the snare and work with the ghost notes, not bulldoze them. Listen in mono too. Use utility to check your width and make sure the bass is still strong when collapsed. If it sounds cleaner in mono, that's usually a good sign. In this style, mono compatibility is not optional. It's part of the weight. At this point, if the groove is working, resample the phrase to audio. This is one of the best advanced moves in Ableton Live 12. It lets you treat the bass as a performance instead of an endless editing session. Record the bass bus, consolidate the best take, and then slice the audio again if you want to create new variations. Resampling is where the stretch concept becomes really powerful. You can grab a tail, stretch it over a snare gap, or reorder a chop in a way that would have been awkward in MIDI. Audio gives you that tactile, human breath that can make the line feel alive. After resampling, you can clean it up with a EQ8, add a bit more saturator if needed, and use glue compressor very lightly if the bus needs cohesion. Just don't squeeze the life out of it. The energy comes from the movement, not from flattening everything. Now think arrangement. The chop stretch method becomes way more powerful when it evolves through the track. Don't keep the exact same loop running for 32 bars and expect it to stay exciting. Use density to mark sections. Start with a hint of the groove. Bring in the full pattern for the drop. Strip a few notes away in the mid-drop so the break can breathe. Then return with a more aggressive chopped version later. That progression keeps the listener engaged and makes the bass line feel like it's developing instead of looping mechanically. Use automation for tension and transitions. Open the filter before a drop. Increase distortion in the second half of a phrase. Add a little reverb send only on transition chops. Not on the sub. Maybe high pass the mid layer briefly before the drop to create anticipation, then slam it back in when the section hits. And here's a huge practical tip. When a phrase feels too busy, remove notes from the middle of the bar before you remove the downbeat. Keeping the first hit strong grounds the whole loop. That's often the difference between a line that feels locked and one that feels random. If you want to go even deeper, use MIDI transform tools in Live 12 for subtle rhythmic variations. A tiny timing shift, a note length change, or a quick velocity adjustment can create a fresh swing feel without rewriting the whole line. That's a great way to make repeats feel human. For darker, heavier sound, stay in a minor key and use occasional semitone tension or tritone movement. Keep the sub conservative and let the motion happen in the mids. If the bass starts to feel too clean, Add a lightly distorted parallel layer underneath, but keep it filtered and controlled. You can also use pitch as a groove tool. Keep the rhythm similar, but change the pitch contour on the response notes. Even one altered chop every two bars can make the bass feel performed instead of copied and pasted. That's a small change with a big impact. If you're practicing this technique, set up a simple challenge. Make a two-bar bass line at 172 BPM with a clean sub, a chopped mid layer, and at least one resampled audio version. Write the first bar simply, then make the second bar more swung and more responsive. Stretch one or two tails. Keep the sub separate. Then mute the MIDI and listen to the audio on its own.